That's the show. You heard Simone Whitey in the co-host chair for one more day. Kells is back Tuesday after the long holiday weekend. Jay with Simone on the other side of the glass coming up in just about 10 minutes. Bobby Marks, ESPN front office analyst, will join us. We'll talk some Kings and NBA offseason with him. Rob Manfred opened his mouth in Milwaukee yesterday, the site of the spring owners meetings out there in Milwaukee, and the subject of the A's and their relocation to Las Vegas obviously came up in the questioning. And he says that this A's to Vegas thing seems to be pretty close to locked up.
I think they're pretty settled on a site, the MGM site. I think they have an agreement. It's really now a question of getting a finalized financing package that would allow them to build on that site.
However, he did leave the door open to the A's staying in the city of Oakland.
I think you'd have to ask the mayor of Oakland that. I mean, you know, she said she had cut off negotiations after an announcement was made in Las Vegas. I don't have a crystal ball as to where anything's going. There's not a definitive deal done in Las Vegas, and we'll have to see how that plays out.
So when will the owners' vote be happening for this relocation?
It's possible that a relocation vote could happen as early as June. It's very difficult to have a timeline for Oakland until there's actually a deal to be considered. There is a relocation process internally that they need to go through, and we haven't even started that process.
And like I said, Whitey, these meetings are happening in Milwaukee. That's where Rob Manfred was speaking, and the Brewers are about to have their own sort of, or already in the beginnings of their own stadium dispute. American Family Field, formerly known as Miller Park, it needs about $500 million in renovations and upkeep right now. And he was asked to compare those two situations in Milwaukee and in Oakland.
Really the antithesis of what happened in Oakland. And that is, this is an A-plus facility when it's built. It's been well-maintained. Ownership has made a commitment not only to put a competitive team on the field, but to do its share in terms of keeping the stadium up. And most important, the fans here have supported the team enthusiastically. And I think the real decision that needs to be made here is, what can we do to maintain that really great dynamic? Oakland, unfortunately, it's a facility that was never as good as this one when it started. They made some unfortunate decisions not to maintain the ballpark in the way that it needed to be maintained. It resulted in a decline in the attendance, which had an impact on the quality of the product that the team could afford to put on the field, and we're now where we are.
I hate this man.
Morons.
I hate him so much. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. Rob Manfred, meet me in the octagon for the commissioner's chair, sir, and I will put my house on the line. I will take you down for the commissioner's chair so I can save the sport I love, Whitey. What he did right there was throw the fans, throw the city of Oakland completely under the bus, and just let John Fisher off the hook in every way, shape, or form. Basically said he couldn't put a competitive product on the field because of the state that the city had let the stadium come to, and because the fans didn't come out and support. And not one word about John Fisher taking the revenue share money and just stuffing his pockets with it, taking the TV money from NBC Sports California and all their radio affiliates and just stuffing it in his pockets and watching possums take over Oakland Coliseum and putting a double-A club on the field. And then Rob Manfred has the gall, the temerity to stand in front of microphones and blame the fans and the city for John Fisher being a derelict owner of a professional sports organization. Rob Manfred continues to be an embarrassment to the sport of baseball with these most recent comments.
Long ago, when the A's first moved here from Kansas City, when they moved to Oakland, 1968, they had a mule. Charlie O was the name of the mule, and they would bring it out and parade him around the field. Well, that's great. The A's used to have a mule as a mascot, and now we have an ass as a commissioner. Because what? No, and I'm serious. This pretty much ruined my bowl of Special K this morning when I read that. I'm serious because I've been thinking
strawberries
about
strawberries or just straight Special
strawberries.
K.
Strawberries,
okay,
of course.
Good. All right.
I was thinking about this. Who does he think he's fooling? How stupid does he think we are? And he's proven in the past he thinks we're pretty stupid. But in this case, and I agree with everything you said, Rami, but I think the people he's talking to when he says that, he's talking to fans around baseball because it's important for the owners to convince other fans that, oh, this would never happen to you. We would never do this to you. The fans in the city, they did this to themselves. Now, we know that's not true, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
what
he said.
He's trying to convince everybody, oh, yeah, this would never happen to you. So, you know, the fans didn't come out. They didn't keep up the ballpark, and no one went to the game. And what's the owner supposed to do? They couldn't put a competitive product on the field. And we know it's a lie.
That's what he just said, Whitey. You hit the nail on the head. And that's the most disgust. I see a look of absolute disgust on JJ's face on the other side of the glass.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can even crack the mic open to say what he wants to say without getting in some trouble. But that's the most disgusting part of what he just did right there. Like, you want to go after the city of Oakland? I've said this before. You lose three professional sports franchises in the last decade, you're probably doing something wrong. You know what I mean? And not keeping those teams in town. But to blame the fans.
Yeah.
To blame the fans and say they didn't support the product, how the hell do you expect anybody to go out and support a team that's having legitimately the worst season, the worst start to a season after 50-plus games in almost 100 years?
Yeah.
In almost 100 years.
They've been running down that product for years so that they could, at this point, make that move with as little fallout as could be. There's still plenty of it. There should be more. Hopefully there will be. But it was all part of a concerted effort to set them up to leave town.
To blame it
on the fans.
To make it a team that you can't watch. That you can't watch. It's an unwatchable product. To make it a team that you can't watch if you're a baseball fan and then go, it's your fault that you didn't come out and watch this.
Yeah.
And what you admit is a venue that is not fit for professional sports viewing. It's your fault.
After what? It's been 2 years of the A's telling us they are rooted in Oakland.
And like you said, Whitey, and this is one of the things, look, man, I get, and I say this from time to time, I get lied to in this line of work. I expect to get lied to in this line of work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people have to lie to us or keep things from us to do their job while I'm trying to do my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But how stupid do you think we are that you're going to go in front of microphones and frame it and paint it the way that Rob Manfred did, and the baseball world is just going to look and nod and go, oh, yeah, this is happening.
Let's not even talk stupid.
We see what's happening. If you're going to lie, put a little effort into your lie. Don't treat me like a child or like an idiot. You know what I mean? We see what's happening. We're not blind, and we're not stupid.
Even worse than that, again, I agree with you, he's not talking to us because we know he's lying, and he doesn't care.
That's the worst part about it. Yeah. That is the worst part about it.
You know, the other thing for me, too, and I get it, you know, I've seen the video a few times, and I see there's a plethora of different media people and reporters, but I think, and it may be because it's closer to at home and the heart, but I would have followed up and said, no, that's a lie. Like, that's one time I probably would have been like, Manfred, Rob, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Please speak on that, because we know that's not the truth. Like, we know fans come. We know people want there. And just as you guys have talked about, the city hasn't done the best. But John Fisher, like, Rob, I didn't hear John Fisher one time out of your mouth. So that's how I would have approached it. You know, I might have got kicked off the field. Right. I'll be honest.
Just shout. It's inaccurate.
Or like you said, Jay, if you want to be a professional, like really professional and straight about, Mr. Commissioner, what about John Fisher's part in all this? You know what I mean? Somebody could have asked that.
And the league. Yeah, I mean, let's dive deeper here since you want to put it on the people.
And the dude sound, I mean, not, and don't get it twisted. They're going to start twisting Milwaukee's arm more and more and more and more. And, man, I love baseball, and I don't think it's going to die anytime soon. But we were just talking about boxing and its dip in popularity. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that baseball goes the way of boxing. And I don't want to see that happen, man. But Rob Manfred continues to spit in the face of fans and show that he doesn't give a damn about this game.
If it does happen, one of the key factors will be the fact that you have so many owners and even the commissioner now who I don't think they even really like baseball, and I'm not making a joke. No. I think that's true.
I don't think Rob Manfred likes baseball. I think Rob Manfred might be an anti-baseball agent working from inside the commissioner's office, to be quite frank with you. He's on some KGB stuff. I'm going to be in a better mood when we talk with Bobby Marks, ESPN front office analyst, about some Kings and NBA offseason activity right after this.
Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
That's the show. Cattle's out. He'll be back Tuesday after the long weekend. Whitey Gleason in for Nick Cattles. We got Simone and Jay on the other side of the glass coming up at 3:45. Simone trying to ruin everybody's holiday weekend. But joining us now on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, ESPN front office analyst, Bobby Marks. Bobby, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
How many steps from where they were towards a championship would you say the Sacramento Kings made in 1 year?
Oh, man. I mean, I thought just getting into the play-in this year would have been a success.
Sure.
Right? I thought that would have been step one. It kind of it feels like they skipped it, and they didn't have to kind of give up the farm to do it here. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I think you see where Denver is right now, and that's certainly the gold standard, and I don't think there's any reason – why this roster can't be there, whether it be next year or a year after that. And then after that, it's a Western Conference that's got a lot of parity that's really wide open. So, yeah, they made a tremendous amount of steps as far as I thought just the goal was to get in the play and get that taste of playing meaningful games here. But when you go to a seven-game series and you're up, you know 2-0 in that series, to put yourself in that position. And now the hard part is, right? Now this is the hard part. Mm-hmm. When you are kind of a targeted team and you're not going to sneak up on, and everybody's going to want to know kind of what's next here, and getting to the first round probably isn't going to be acceptable next year.
Bobby, I remember you once interviewed for the assistant GM job here. I think I was with Vlade, if I'm not mistaken. And I was looking at your Kings preview on YouTube from a year ago, and sure, you had said it was the most challenging of all the previews because of how, you know, volatile the situation appeared. So obviously the picture a lot brighter here. Looking forward this year, how important is it for the Kings if they want to get anything accomplished this offseason? How important is it to find someone who's going to take Rashawn Holmes' contract off their hands?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where, you know, he's got a couple of years left on his deal. It's not a bad number. It's kind of really where the non-tax mid-level numbers is going to come in here. So I think he's, you know, certainly, it's not like you've got a, you know, salary dump and attach a lot of things to it. I think that's, you know, the number that, you know, a player doesn't fit in based on a lot of different circumstances that what's going on there. So I don't think it's a challenge. There's a ton of teams with room, a ton of teams that can, you know, look for a guy, you know, can, you know, guy that, you know, $2 for $24, $2 for $25 million. On his deal, better than probably maybe what might could be out there in free agency here. So yeah, I don't see that as much of a challenge here. I think I was satisfied or as happy I didn't have to write about looking for another coach this offseason here. I don't think we have to worry about that with Mike and certainly Monty and Wes have done a really good job kind of putting some roster stability. They kind of addressed the needs last year with Herter and then eventually Monk in free agency. And of course, you know, the focus now is what do you do with Harrison, and Trey Lyles is important. I would think certainly, you know, gave you a lot of good minutes coming off your bench. The Sabonis situation, I think, will eventually figure out itself probably likely next off season, just based on, you know, where his extension number could be here. But yeah, I think it's more of kind of tweaking, and certainly when you got a bunch of picks in the draft, and I think you could still find some good value with that that first rounder, even though it's in the 20s here. It's not like, you know, it's not like you're looking at major overhauls like you've been looking at the prior, you know, few years.
Talking with Bobby Marks, ESPN front office analyst here on Cattles and Rami. Obviously, you know, a lot of this comes down to money, but as the Kings try and build on this foundation that they have and around this core that they have, there's all perception plays a part and plays a role in where guys want to go and play, Bobby. And if they can win there, the facilities, the coach, a good work atmosphere, how much has the image, the perception of the Kings changed around the NBA and with perspective, with players and prospective free agents, do you think?
I would say that Sacramento won't have any trouble having guys come in for draft workouts like they've had in the past. And I know they're picking in the 20s, and it's a lot different than picking at 4 and 5 here. And that was always the big thing. Like, nobody wanted to go to Sacramento and work out. And I don't think you have to worry about that. I think, yeah, it's, you know, this big market destination thing. I think it's certainly overblown. I think I look, and I didn't even really write about it. You know, their medical staff, you know, basically keeping this team on the court healthy. Yep. I mean, I think they missed the fewest games there. So, you know, that's a place that you're going to be taken care of, on the court, off the court here. I think, you know, hey, we know Mike's going to be here for a long time. I think that's all players want. The players don't want to go to situations where you're going to be changing a coach 2 years from now here. And I think how the league is set up here with this new collective bargaining agreement coming in, there's going to be more parity than we probably saw this year here. So there's no reason why it can't be a destination spot. As long as you win and you know you have a tremendous fan base, and this fan base has been through this behind them forever, through bad and good, and we saw this year what an advantage it was here. Players want to play for that. You know, like, you know, you can go live in Miami during the summer if you don't want to live in, you know, Northern California in June, July, and in August here. And so I think it is a destination spot just based on when you win games, players want to go there.
Bobby, yesterday we had Jerry Reynolds on, the former Kings GM, and we were just, you know, we're not suggesting there's anything to this, but we were throwing around the possibility of a guy like Vezenkov, if he comes in, he's an asset, maybe you package mm-hmm. him with something, and maybe you could move him if they're, you know, if he's amenable to that. What are the challenges of bringing a guy like that in, and what kind of value as an asset does he have around the league right now?
Huge, because it's, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, certainly from a free agent perspective, as far as a guy coming in and then you certainly have him on a controllable contract, especially how some of these exceptions are going to work in the CBA, or maybe you use, you know, some of your, you know, non-taxman level, you can go out and do that here. And, it's got a lot of tremendous value. I mean, it's basically an additional draft pick, and it's a guy that's got a ton of experience that can come in, I think, and can play for you right now. Or if you're, as you said, if you're looking to flip him for something else, if that's what Sacramento wants to do.
You know, we're looking at the NBA finals on the horizon. You look at the Heat, the Celtics, and homegrown talent, or talent found in unlikely places. You look at the Nuggets, and they're not, you know, the super team that we've seen before. And you hear chatter of, oh, is this the end of the super team? I, for one, Bobby, think that star power will always be alluring to NBA franchises, and if you can put two or three stars together, then you'll do it. Do you think there's going to be any change in philosophy based on who's made these deep playoff runs and how they've gotten to where they've gotten?
I think it's the end of the super teams as far as going out and, like, going all in and trying to get three main guys. I think you could build it organically, and Denver has, with Jokic and Murray and Porter. You know, those three guys are on max contracts. Jokic's supermax starts next year. You can go about doing that. I just think the day and age of what we saw maybe with Brooklyn, with Harden going all in, some of those, you know, prior, probably even Minnesota with Gobert going all in there, when you're really, giving up four first round picks, even with Durant and and Phoenix here, that presents a challenge when you're going to build your roster out. But there's nothing to say that, you can build it with, you know, two or three guys if you draft really well. And that's what Denver has done. They've drafted really well. Similar, Boston's drafted really well. Miami's a little bit different because a lot of those guys are undrafted players, but you still have Adebayo, and you've got Butler, and Hero hasn't played here. So it's a different philosophy here, but I do think the day and age of, you know, going all in, trading four first round picks for that disgruntled superstar is over. Unless, you know, you have your roster is, filled with players making less than, you know, $15, $20 million.
Bobby, I wanted to circle back, if I may, to something you said just a little earlier in the conversation, talking about Sabonis. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty over his future with the Kings, but you said you thought it would work itself out. It sounds like you don't think the Kings nor Kings fans should be anxious at this point about Sabonis sticking around in Sacramento?
I don't think so. It's probably more of a business type decision here. You know, he's extension eligible here. I would have loved to have seen the rules changed. where we get rid of, you know, he can extend for 140% off his current deal. I would have loved to seen him do away with that and basically say you can extend off whatever the percentage of salary cap for him would be up to 30% here. And that would, you know, give teams more the ability to retain their players here. And I think what Sabonis is facing is similar to what we saw with Zach LaVine in Chicago a few years ago. Guys who signed what was perceived now, I guess, as team-friendly rookie extensions has outplayed them. And now you're basically capped on what you can sign him for in the next deal. And yes, you can renegotiate his contract with cap space here, but that costs you probably costs you Harrison Barnes to go out and do it here. So there's nothing wrong with guys playing out on an expiring contract, what Sabonis would be on. And I know there's that unknown when he goes into free agent in 2024, but I always say you always have the ability to, you have the ability to in-house recruit them. You know, that's that's the beauty of it is that you have that player there for multiple years.
That is Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, and our guest for the last few minutes here on Cattles and Rami. Appreciate the time and the insight, Bobby. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And he joins us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Said Sacramento is a destination, Whitey. I thought that was notable from our conversation with Bobby Marks.
Yeah, night and day from just a year ago.
Yeah,
night and day.
That's crazy.
Sacramento Kings steady rising and rising.
That's what I keep saying. Right after this, we'll go on the record. Every show makes predictions. We keep track of them, and we'll do that next.
Cattles and Rod.
Some things just need to be recorded.
And we aren't talking about on TikTok.
We're talking about predictions and guarantees.
It's On the Record.
But off the record, I can't stand those.
Yeah, every sports talk show, they make predictions. And then they go off into the ether, Whitey, out into space. And unless they were right, you never hear about them again. Not on Cattles and Rami. No, sir. We go really? On the record. Yes.
Impressive.
We keep track. We keep batting averages.
Really?
Yes. We keep track of runs based on how big a prediction it is. It's either a single, a double, a triple, or a home run. We keep track of it all. Whitey, specifically Jay and Simone, keep track of it all. Before we get into today's predictions that we will put on the record, can we get an update on where we're at right now.
Definitely.
Thank you so
much. Rami, you are at home averaging 240 right now.
Ooh, I think that's down from last week. Yeah. I think it was like 246, 247 last week.
You'd be surprised.
Not good.
Nick averaging about 223 right now. We got Jay sitting comfortably at a nice 333.
Wow.
And a Simone, still with the rookie numbers here, 417.
Yeah. Call up. He's a call up.
Recent call up, small sample size.
Yep,
yeah. So
if I got somebody hitting 417 down on the farm, bad news for the guy hitting 223. All
right. That's what I'm here.
Fair enough, Whitey. Fair enough. Fair enough. We still don't know who Kim Kardashian is dating, if anyone, right?
Simone? From the Lakers. That's right. That's the incredible prediction. Parlay.
That's the prediction I'm most waiting to see if it's true or not. Simone predicted that, what was it, Kim Kardashian would be at game 7?
Yes.
Of the semifinals, semifinals?
Yeah, it was then, 5 or 6, and then she was there, and the parlay aspect is that she is dating Austin Reeves,
she said,
and
that
will
that
be
she's
revealed to
Reeves.
Us by the end of the summer.
So we have till the end of the summer to see if Kim is dating Austin Reeves. So we shall see. Yeah, it can be anything, Whitey, anything in or out of the world
of sports.
It ain't
going to be Tristan Thompson, I'll tell you that.
I'll start off with a little parlay of my own for this week's On the Record. And I'm just going to go ahead and predict the rest of the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I'm going to say Celtics win tomorrow. Heat win on Sunday. And Jimmy Butler has 35-plus points in the Game 7 victory.
You know they don't play on Sunday.
Monday, I'm sorry. Monday.
Okay.
This has got to be a grand slam, right?
6-7 is my point. Celtics win 6, Heat wins 7, and Jimmy has 35-plus points in the victory.
Yeah, that's a home run.
Okay, home run for yourself.
A grand slam or a home run?
That's a home run.
Just a home run. Whitey, did you want to get in? I should have asked you this before the show. Did you want to get in?
Can you give me a second and I will?
Sure, yeah.
Will my predictions go on Nick's record?
No, we have guests. We keep guest record, so I'm sure it'll be part of history.
Yeah.
It'll be part of history, Whitey.
Okay.
I can go in the meantime.
You won't be forgotten. Yeah, we'll put Whitey in cleanup. We'll put Whitey in the cleanup spot and come back around to him. Simone, what do you have?
I would also like to make some Eastern Conference Finals predictions.
Okay.
I am going to predict that thing is going to go to a Game 7.
All right.
smaller parlay, we are going to see Mr. Chuck going over to the Monsta. We're going to get that visual. Just got to get back to Boston.
I don't know. Did you see the NBA on TNT last night? Whitey and Charles Barkley trying to do a Boston
accent. Sit on top of the Monsta. The way that on top of the Monsta.
Oh my God, they're going to pander that man. He's going to have like a bowl of clam chowder. It's going to be him sitting on top of the Monsta.
And the way on top of the Monsta.
And the way he was saying Ernie in his Boston accent, Ernie. That was so. Charles Barkley was on one last night, man. He was highly, highly entertaining. Jay, what do you have for On the Record?
Yeah, we just talked about it. I'm taking Errol Spence over Terrence Crawford. So I'm going Errol Spence over T. Croft. Oh, we got to hit Simone up with the. I'm going triple for Simone.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a triple. All right. I'll give her a triple that one. All right. I don't know who's
a 50-50 fight.
Who's favored to win the
It's a 50-50 fight.
It's a double, right? If it's a 50-50 fight, then it's a double, right?
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whitey.
Can I make two if they're quick?
Sure. Go ahead. We'll let you lead off the next one.
Boston's going to win. Boston's going to win the next two games.
Okay.
Going to win game six and game seven.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and
that's
then,
a double. No, yeah. that's a triple.
It's more. It's complicated.
I'm going to give you a triple on that one.
Yeah. The Oakland Athletics this weekend are going to take two of three from the world champion Houston Astros.
The home run. Anytime two of three in a positive formation for the Oakland A's is a home run.
From Dusty and the Strohs.
That's absolutely a home run prediction by Whitey right there. That they'll win two of any three games. Absolutely is a home run. No doubt about it. So, yeah, we'll give you that one.
All right.
That's a home run. I will say the A's will not get the vote for funding that they need by, I had this in my notes and I lost it. Do we know when?
The 5th?
The 5th? Is it June 5th that the city council is voting? Okay. They will not get the vote for the funding that they need.
They have to have the plan in by the 5th and they vote by the 25th.
Okay. They won't, on the 25th, they won't get the vote for the funding that they are looking for for this new ballpark. I say they will not get the funding.
Oof. The way the Vegas is starting to bend over backwards.
You think it's happening now?
Yeah, I think.
Think the wheels are turning?
I want to say triple.
The machine is moving?
Yeah, I'm going to say triple.
Triple? Simone?
Based on the difficulty, I would also agree triple.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in line with that.
Simone and Jay, you each get one more before we wrap this thing up.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, we've been talking about him a little bit today.
I thought about going this direction.
Yeah, did want to let you guys know he's going to be enjoying his new home in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills, because no one circles the wagons.
I'm going to say, just because Josh Allen was one of the quarterbacks that he mentioned that he'd like to play with, I think that's in the cards. I don't know what their salary cap situation is.
I have no idea either.
I'll say a double. I'm going to go double on
Unresearched.
That one. Actually,
just going with my heart.
You know, I'll say triple, just because there's got to be at least five or six teams that will be in the mix for a DeAndre Hopkins. For the Bills to emerge as the one versus the field, I think makes it.
Do we have any odds yet? Has anybody released any odds on who his next team will be?
I don't know if you guys have.
I'll find some and I'll let you guys
know. I'll go double, so Whitey's got to cut the middle.
Oh, yeah, double. I can't go triple. Double. Right. Yeah.
Sorry, Simone. It's a double.
My last one is the Oakland Raiders backup quarterbacks, meaning non-Jimmy Garoppolo.
The Oakland Raiders?
Excuse me, the Las Vegas Raiders. Man, it's Friday. Let's hit the ejecto button.
Hey, you know I know. Yeah, I've already had a few of those. Ejecto-cito,
okay. Anybody going to see Fast 9 beside Christopher Lloyd and Simone?
I will not. No.
Okay.
I will not see that.
Yeah, me. No. I'm back at like 5.
I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, I'll beat you.
Not a one.
The Las Vegas Raiders, I'm going to say it again, Las Vegas Raiders backup quarterbacks, non-Jimmy Garoppolo, will start at least a quarter of their season.
Wow, so at least
Chase
Garbers, five games.
Brian Hoyer, they will start at least a quarter of the Raiders games.
Just the nature of the sport and the position and Jimmy Garoppolo's history of getting injuries, I'm going to say that's a 50-50 proposition, which for me makes it a double. No, isn't it?
Are we talking
that Jimmy
four
will
games?
Miss that Jimmy I mean, will miss four games at least
17,
four games
games. Five, so we're talking four.
If he's saying at least a quarter, then we got to say five.
That's five.
Right? Yeah, so I think it's a 50-50 proposition that quarterbacks not named Jimmy Garoppolo will start at least five games, right? That's a double. I think that's a double. That's a solid double.
I agree. Double.
All right. Two baggers. So there it is. That's how we do this thing. It's on the record here on the Cattles and Rami Show. We'll get you updated and make more stupid predictions next week. Right after this, you got a great weekend planned. Weather's good. You got 3 days off. Probably have like meats marinating, drinks chilling. And Simone just wanted to ruin your whole weekend. She'll do that next. That's the show. Cattles out. Rami in. Whitey in for Cattles. Jay and Simone on the other side of the glass. Coming up at 4 o'clock. What NBA Finals matchup do you want to see? That's coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Nick will be back Tuesday after a long holiday weekend.
Yeah, right.
Weather's nice. You know, everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Good vibes. Everybody happy. Feeling good. And then you follow Simone Says Radio on the Twitters, Whitey, and she just has to remind you of one of the most painful moments of your life. Yeah. Simone this morning said, her tweet read, 21 years ago today, I learned God does not exist. And by the way, Simone is not an atheist that I know of. You believe in God, right? We don't want to upset any people. Yeah, it was just a joke. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was just a joke, but she was referring back to the fact that it was...
You almost make it worse by saying, you know what she was referring to.
21 years ago today.
I've upset a lot of people. Yeah, that's you have. For sure.
Why would you do this, Simone? I haven't even said what it is, and people already probably know
they do.
What I'm talking about. Whitey, do you want to say what I'm talking about?
I don't want no part. Whitey, you weren't on the meeting today. I said I almost walked out.
Yeah.
First of all, I would have unfollowed Simone. The only reason I still follow Simone is because I got love for her. But if I didn't know Simone, I was a listener. Man. Oh, she would be
cut. I know.
Cut.
It's been an upsetting day for me. I mean, I'm a good-looking girl. I'm smart. I usually get a lot of positive reaction. And it's just been very off-putting to receive. After this tweet, I mean, I have people saying, you know, I'm vomiting right now. I'm going to go take a lay down. It's just been really upsetting for a lot of
people. You deserve it because of the sound. Was it J-Mars who said you can go and talk with Rachel, our HR person, about your unpaid suspension?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You deserve all the hate, Simone.
Let's get into it.
This was what was attached to Simone's tweet today that happened 21 years ago today.
It's a 2-point Sacramento lead. We're down to 7 seconds. Bryant putting the move on Christie. Rebound O'Neal. Coming up short. Ori for the win.
And again, blame Simone.
Not chilling.
It's not.
Yeah.
I will say we really do collectively need to come together and like heal this trauma, though. How are we ever going to get better, you know, advance through the Western Conference Finals if we can't look back at history and move forward?
Jay is so disgusted right now.
I'm with him. I don't even know why we played that. I was just like,
what? This is the second time this hour that I've seen a look of absolute disgust and disdain on the face of Jay Johnson on the other side of the glass. First thing we talked about the A's, and now after that, JJ legitimately would not pull the soundbite.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't pull it. I'm not pulling that.
Jay usually pulls the soundbites
for
this
show. And you also told me, Jay, we're not playing it, so then I didn't think we were going to be playing it.
So, Simone, did you play it, or Jay, did you swallow your pride?
Jay played it himself. She cut it and everything. She did her job.
Is this one of those... I'm not going to compare it to anything. Somebody did that when Tom Brady retired, and didn't they compare it to, like... 9/11 or something. Like you'll remember where you were when this happened.
That was
like
terrible.
I'm not gonna do that. But is this?
I have one about the only one I could think of, and Jay would I think understand where I'm going. Would be the Tuck rule. Am I right?
Close. Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, but close to what we just played, but in that same
Robert Big Shot Bob shot in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals 21 years ago today. Is that one of those for Sacramento King? Because I'm I wasn't even in Sacramento, obviously.
Those so you're just making it worse.
No, yeah. Right? Yeah, very true.
Hey, is this it what, bad?
Is right. it one of those, you know, right where you right were? Now. Like you have the image in your head of
oh,
where
yeah.
you
oh, yeah.
were,
for
the
sure.
experience,
absolutely.
The moment.
For sure.
I do too.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that was the essence of my tweet. I think a lot of people have misdirected hate
no,
at me.
No, no, no. I'm not letting normally I rock
no
with Simone,
God.
But I'm
no
not letting Simone
God
off the hook for this.
Because of what happened to us that day. It's a terrible, terrible thing. We do need to reflect on it, and we do need to look forward to positive days. I'm envisioning that parade, you guys. Rami's chair out there on the side of the road, and I want you guys to come with me. I'll hold your hand.
The problem
bombed
is...
down depleted.
Jay, tell me what you think. The way I see it, the problem is not everyone is ready yet. And so,
I like where you're going there.
To have someone say, hey, you need to deal with this. And I understand what you're saying. But for some people, it's like, I'm not there yet. Maybe I will be. But that's, you know, when you're like,
I mean,
and to share the highlight, to tweet the highlight of it. You know what I mean?
The gall.
The gall.
Yeah,
the temerity.
She was out of pocket.
Yeah. That was what really was like, what are you doing?
She could have got the point across, Rami, by saying this is the anniversary of this.
She didn't even have to say
done.
What it was.
Yep.
21 years ago today, Kings fans lost their innocence.
Yeah.
And every Kings fan would have known exactly what they were talking about. You did not have to include the video, Simone. That was unnecessary.
Twitter, you
and
know,
hurtful.
A marketplace of ideas and videos and
did
pictures.
It's funny you talk about that. Why do you, the moment? Of the Tuck Rule, being a Niner, but I definitely remember the Tuck Rule and working with Lincoln Kennedy and guys like that. We used to tease Link all the time when I worked with him at Fox, and he would definitely go into a shell.
Yeah,
it was something that, you know, very few people could tease him about.
Yeah.
And there was a couple times where he's like, "All right, that's enough." Like, it really yes. hurt him, you know. And I get it; he was on the field, took part of it. The one for me is the Kirk Gibson home run as a kid watching that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Come on, Eckersley, you got to be better. That little sweeping slider, that one, and the one that gets me—it doesn't bother me as much as just a dumb play—is when Jeremy Giambi didn't slide and Derek Jeter
the infamous
little weak.
Yeah,
Come on, slide and we're never even talking about it.
Yeah, if he slides, you're right. Derek Jeter didn't do nothing on that play.
Did you know before that hit that Eric Burns was like stretching in the dugout, assuming like
he was running.
Pinch run?
Yep.
And they just didn't put him in the game.
Yeah. Man, we just opened up a lot of old wounds.
Yeah. Fun!
For Northern
I know,
California
but I want you
fans.
Guys just to stitch them up. Let's
you're not making
slap
it better,
a Band-Aid. Some gauze over it, some antibacterial ointment, and let's power through.
You know,
let's
Jerry always says. Jerry says Robert Horry cost me a new roof. He says, you know, if they'd won, we'd have got a raise, got a little bonus there. He says that guy, and I apologize for saying his name, cost me a new roof. Yeah,
I'm with Jay. I normally wouldn't say this, but Simone deserves all your hate, your vitriol, all that smoke. Simone deserves all that smoke that she's getting.
Memorial Day weekend, baby. Let's get this barbecue started.
And before Memorial Day weekend of all weekends, like everybody's going, long weekend. I'm in a good mood. And then Simone just has to slap you in the face with the highlight.
Mommy seems really broken up, doesn't he?
Again,
right.
We're healing.
The question I wanted to ask, and I was going to ask this earlier, but I just had to put you guys on mute once you were talking about this during our show meeting, is did you go and find that and put that, or did you retweet that from someone?
No.
Did you copy it? Like,
how'd
you get that?
It's from ESPN.
Yeah, so you took that from the Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah
I'll show you how.
It's embedded in
her tweet.
Don't show him how.
Don't show me how.
Never mind.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't want to have no parts of where you're going with this.
Okay.
Kings fans did not want to see that. What do you want to see in the NBA Finals? We'll discuss next.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.